Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Today, we're going to take a look at fruit grown here in Wisconsin and the fall fruit harvest. Really happy to have with me Amaya Atucha, who's a UW Extension Fruit Crop Production Specialist. She's also an assistant professor at the Department of Horticulture in the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So it's great to have her along today to talk about, we'll talk about apples and we'll talk about grapes. We can talk a little about cranberries probably as well, right, Amaya?
Yeah, thank you for having me. Absolutely. We can talk about all of that and more.
And a whole lot more. Well, let's get started. Let me first say, if you have a question, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Those are the ways you can do that. And we already have some callers online, but let's take a look at apples for just a second. How was the apple harvest this year, or how is it looking this year?
How is it going? It's still going. It's going well. We had a little bit of a rough start with that frost we had in late May. And growers were concerned about the crop this year, but the effect of the frost was pretty spotted around the state, and so overall we have a good crop this year to harvest, and there'll be a lot of apples.
Probably don't have many listeners who are raising their own cranberries, but cranberry is a big crop here in Wisconsin.
Oh, yes, it is. Wisconsin is the top producer of cranberries in the world.
So we're at big time, and how is the production this year?
So the harvest started. The early varieties have been harvested. Varieties like High Red, that's a UW variety, it's being harvested right now. It's one of the first ones. And so it's on the process. It has started, and it's probably going to continue for more than a month.
So cranberries looking pretty good. Apples looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Grapes?
Grapes as well. I would say that at least in the southern part of the state, the majority of the grapes are, you know, have been harvested or in the process of ending the harvest. There's still a lot of the vineyards up in Door County, where there's a lot of vineyards that are, you know, getting to harvest as well, and we're having a good crop this year.
Yeah, we had some problems in spring, I think, with some of the wine growers, the wine producers.
The same frost that affected the fruits and the apple trees also affected the grapes.
Yeah.
So some of the growers also had a little bit of a loss there of yield because of that.
Well, let's take some questions. Joe in Eagle River up first here. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Mia. Say, many years ago, from Philippe Cocard, I got some beautiful Concord grape plants. For the last 15 years, either the frost gets them or the chipmunks or the deer or something. But lo and behold, this year, we've not had a frost yet. And yesterday we went out and cut all the grapes off because some of the critters are starting to get hungry. And well, my question is, we've got these grapes. Some of them are ripe, but a lot of them are just starting to turn. And I'm wondering if we set them in a sunny window, if they might not ripen like tomatoes would, and whether or not we should take them off all the stringy vines and, you know, peel all the grapes off and just put them on a cookie sheet.
Well, what do you think, Amaya?
Well, in general, we divide fruits in two types of fruit, climacteric and non-climacteric. The climacteric fruits are fruits like apples, for example, that once you harvest them, they still ripe and they convert part of that starch that they have into sugars.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, grapes are non-climacteric, which means when you harvest them, it's the quality that you're going to get. They're not going to ripe. They're not going to produce more sugar. So the thing with grapes, the same with citrus fruit, for example, is that you need to wait until they're ripe to harvest them. So what I would encourage is to, in the next season, if possible, if you can net it and protect it from any predator, that would be the best thing. And then the other thing is try to expose the fruit to the sun so that they ripen faster.
Yeah, and, you know, you can let those grapes sit on the vine a long, long time. I know some of the really sweet wines, if I'm not mistaken, those grapes aren't harvested until they look like raisins.
Yeah, because basically what you're doing is you concentrated the sugar in the berries, and so the longer you keep them, it also dehydrates because of the cold. Yeah. So you pull out of the water and you concentrate even more of those sugars.
Yeah.
So not much hope of the ones that I bought in the house.
Yeah. Unfortunately not.
Too bad, Joe.
That's why we call. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Richard in Green Bay. Hello, Richard.
How are you doing?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
I got a Bartlett pear. I just bought a home. About a 20-foot tall tree. And the fruit has a real dark, not a dark, a scab on it with cracks in the pears. I was wondering if you knew what was causing that.
Unfortunately, it's probably some disease that you have. It's hard to identify just by your description. And that's probably what's producing some of that blackish that you're seeing on the leaves.
Yeah. And would it would the weather have had an impact on that this year, all the wet weather we've
Absolutely.
Had?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've seen much more disease pressure because it's been so wet.
So what is there anything, can you eat those? I mean, can you cut
them? Yes, you can, if you want to.
But so if you want to cut those parts off, you can just go ahead and eat the rest?
Yes.
There we go. Sorry, Richard, I wish we had more information for you on that, but I'm afraid many of our fruits, and certainly our vegetables as well, suffered a bit because of all the wet weather.
Yes, we've seen quite a bit of disease pressure this year, especially on the grapes as well. We've seen quite a bit now that it's been raining in this last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah,
pretty often.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Richard. Carl in Eau Claire will turn to you next. Hi, Carl. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I live in Wisconsin here where all the cranberries are grown. And at the end of the cranberry season, you can witness that some of these trucks are actually dumping their product in the ditch before they take it in to weigh, because they wouldn't be subsidized the following year if they had a good crop the year before. I'm just wondering what your comments would be on that.
Well, I've never heard of that. Probably what you're seeing that is being dumped is not the fruit, but the leaves. So when you harvest, you know how you flood the beds where the vines are growing, and then you pass the harvester to just detach the berries from the vines. At the same time, the leaves are also, some of parts of the leaves of the vines are being detached. And so when you collect all the berries, you separate what is some part of the leaves and the berries. The berries go, you know, for being sold, and the leaves are either made compost and they're dumped. So you might be confused there. It's not actually the fruit, but some of
it's actually berries. You can see the berries coming out of the truck.
It could be some berries that might be damaged. I've heard from a couple of growers that have had some episodes of hail.
These farmers are not subsidized?
No, they're not.
So they're not just dumping?
Absolutely not. So part of what they could be getting rid of and putting into the compost is some fruit that could be damaged. As I said, there has been some isolated hailstorms that damage the fruit. So when you harvest them, those fruits have a little bit of damage, and that can produce rot. So they're not going to store properly. So the growers, what they're going to do is that they're going to scan through those and try to take them out, and then they're probably just going to put it into compost, because they cannot sell those fruits.
Ah, there we go. Well,
thank you for shedding light on that.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Carl. Appreciate your call. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call as we visit today with Amaya Atucha, UW Extension Fruit Crop Specialist, Assistant Professor of Horticulture at UW-Madison, and also joined by the apple of my eye, Jennifer Dargan of our Wisconsin Public Radio staff. We have a chance to talk quite a bit during the course of a week, and it's always great to see her here. And the reason she's here is because we're in our fall membership drive. You know, we're always going to hear something interesting, I think, when you tune into this show, the Larry Mueller Show. And today we're asking you to put a value on the program and everything else you hear on WPR by making a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Right. Just taking a short break from the program to ask you to make that donation at 888-202-2552. And just looking backwards for a moment, Larry, during On Point, we heard from 14 listeners, and we want to say thank you so much for those pledges. Now, our goal during this show is to get 40 pledges. So calling all Larry Mueller fans, help us meet this goal by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The programs you enjoy will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio thanks to your support.
And if you're thinking that your tax dollars, let's say your federal tax dollars or your state tax dollars support WPR, you're certainly right about that. They do, and of course we thank you for that.
Right, and listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our operating budget, the single biggest piece. You make the difference. You make the quality and the variety of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. And because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs that you listen to, like The Larry Mueller Show and Garden Talk, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, one of the easiest things I have to do during these pledge drives is to make a pledge to WPR, because it really is quick, it's easy. And when you become a sustainer, you really simplify your donation process a lot. You'll make automatic monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit card.
And the beautiful thing about it is that support that you give will renew automatically every year, so your membership is always benefiting WPR. So pick an amount that works for you, like $10 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
A lot of thought goes into what we select as thank you gifts during our membership drives. We ask people for their ideas, check out what other public radio stations are offering, do lots of internet research. And it's all worth it because we want you to have the best WPR logo items possible. We love the new WPR pint glasses and think you will too. Here are some of our WPR staff members to tell you why.
I would probably put water with a twist of lime in it.
I like that it's got both WPR and NPR's logos on them.
Oh, well, it could certainly hold, candies or pens or hair accessories comes to mind.
Donate $7 a month or more and ask for your pair of WPR pint glasses. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Squeeze a little juice out of those apples and make yourself a little cider and put it in those cups as well.
I'm taking a little lime from Limey.
Limey isn't producing any limes right now, but I'm hoping for the best here. I want you now to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your pledge during this fall membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan asking for your support of WPR. And you know what? Your gift, it doesn't make any difference. If it's $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And maybe you've been listening for a while and you haven't given to Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, I'm here to tell you that giving is really easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And you can become a sustainer. It's really convenient to set up ongoing monthly donations directly from your bank account. Your gift really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Mm-hmm. And here's a fun fact about how knowledgeable our Garden Talk guests really are. Did you know that the Master Gardeners can get a continuing education credit just for listening to Garden Talk? And that just really goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert like these Master Gardeners or a novice like me.
And you're not getting the credit for listening to me. It's for the guests that we have here on the Ideas Network during Garden Talk. We have some of the best gardening resource people in our state right here to answer your questions. That might be about fruit trees, it could be organic gardening, maybe it's your rose bushes, or many, many other topics. Apply some fertilizer to the program right now by making your pledge of support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Okay, someone helped us get out of the gates here. We had a goal of 40, and now it's down to 39. So thank you so much for that pledge. How about you next? We're looking for those 40 pledges. Make your donation right now. Support the programs that you enjoy at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
If you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do give. And it does feel good to know that you're part of making something special happen.
Yeah, that's even a money-back guarantee, right? If people make a pledge this morning and they don't feel better after they give, we will give you money back. So make your first gift of, how about $5 a month? And enjoy the excitement of supporting your public radio station. It starts with your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And really, now is the time to pledge. Pledge right now while you're listening and thinking about it. It just takes a few minutes to contribute. You'll have a good feeling of supporting those programs, won't you, Jennifer?
Right, right. Join, renew, or make an extra gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
A couple more pledges in, so we've got a few more to go. Your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It really helps.
And this pledge drive, you can ask for a set of two WPR pint glasses. They've got both the WPR and NPR logos, and you'll be really proud to drink any beverage from them. They're yours for a pledge of $7 a month or more at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. It's ongoing monthly donations. Comes right out of your bank account or off your credit card as well at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hey, Larry, I'm going to get out of the way here soon, but I just wanted to mention real quick that we had a pledge come in from Barbara from Madison, and she said, I grew up listening to WPR from the back seat and have been living out of state and streaming it online for the past 6 years. I recently moved back and figured out it was a perfect time to start paying my dues. Well, thank you so much, Barb. How about you next? 888-202-2552 or at WPR.org.
Coming up next Friday on Garden Talk, gardening expert Melinda Myers will be answering your gardening questions, so I hope you'll join us for that. Right now, visiting with Amaya Atucha, UW Extension Fruit Crop Production Specialist. She's an assistant professor in the UW-Madison Department of Horticulture. All four of our lines are filled, so I think we'll just go right back to the phones, Amaya, and go to Jared in Fenimore. Jared, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm an avid gardener, but most of my gardening is outside. But I was wondering about something to do in the wintertime with some citrus fruits in the house and what I could grow and how to grow certain ones like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to grow citrus inside the house?
Yeah, I want to attempt it, I guess.
Yes, you can grow evergreen plants inside the house. The problem is that it's sometimes a little bit hard to get them to bloom and so to actually get fruit. But if you keep them inside in a pot big enough, you water them properly and they have enough light, which is very important, the tree will, you know, continue to grow. And if you're successful, you will have a bloom and you can have fruit. So anything that is lemons
and limes,
if you want to grow mandarins, that would work just fine. You can also grow other things indoors. You can grow strawberries indoors year-round, if that's something else that you want to try.
I've got limey. My daughter named our lime tree limey, and limey is produced, not tons, but oodles. Let's put it oodles. That's the more scientific and appropriate name for it, I think, of limes. And in the wintertime, it's a lot of fun. It smells great. I have it in the bedroom on the second floor at a south-facing window. And it really does well the year round. So
if you have a really green thumb, you can also try avocados.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Yeah, but I like lemons and limes are almost a sure thing if you've got enough light.
Yes, you absolutely need to have enough light to get them to bloom.
And where would I get the seeds? Something I could order online or get the fruit?
You would go to a nursery.
Yeah, you wouldn't order. You would not order seed. You'd order an actual.
Oh, all right.
And they can even be delivered. I got mine in the mail. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. I appreciate it. Taking my call.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Limey is the most famous lime tree in Wisconsin. I'm pretty sure of that because I've posted many a picture with Limey with 6-8 limes on her. And that's kind of fun.
And those are the best tasting
oh,
limes.
Oh, are they good? And again, in the bedroom, you come into the bedroom and it's like you can smell that citrus smell. It's just wonderful.
Fresh.
Oh, it's wonderful. Barb in Nakusa, it's your turn. Hi, Barb.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have grapevines that are about 25 years old, and I'm considering moving them, but they have black rot. That's why I want to move them. And also, I'm wondering how long they'll produce being that old already.
Well, they can keep producing for a very long time.
Yeah.
As long as you prune them and they're healthy, they will keep producing. Regarding the black rot, by moving them, you're not going to take the black rot off of them. So you will have to treat them with some fungicide to control that. But the vine is going to be alive, and it's going to keep producing, and it can produce for 20 more years.
You know what? There's one of the nicest little publications that Extension's got is one titled "Growing Grapes in Wisconsin," and get a copy of that because and you can just go online and take it off our learning store, I think, isn't it? Or is it the horticulture website?
You can find it online, but you can also find it on our website. We have a new website. It's www.fruit.wisc.edu, and we have there a lot of information about all fruit crops, and we also have a newsletter, and so we put up quite a bit of information and update information about all fruit crops. So if you're looking for information regarding grapes, you can go to that website and you will find that publication. We have it there as well.
Yeah, it's a very good publication. And in terms of pruning, it's mm-hmm. got very nice examples of how to prune grapevines.
Yeah. And great. That'll help so much.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Barb.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You as well. Thank you. Let's go to Becky in Ryle. Or Rio, is it?
Yes. Hi, Larry. And hi to your guests. I'm a master gardener here in Columbia County, and so I want to start out by encouraging other master gardeners to donate this hour because we love having your program as a source of continuing education.
Thank you.
People should consider becoming a sustainer like me. I really feel good having that taken care of every month without having to do anything. So my question is about growing aronia fruit and honeyberries. I started three honeyberry bushes this spring, and on your program up at Bayfield in Bloom, I heard the talk about what a good substitute they were in places where you can't grow blueberries, and that would be me. But I haven't gotten anybody to tell me what they taste like, so I want to know on the honeyberries what they taste like, and is there any winter care? And then I have a question about aronia.
Okay, well, what do honeyberries taste like?
I've never tasted one.
Oh,
I'm sorry to disappoint
no.
you.
Well, then when I get fruit, I'm going to have to bring it to Larry.
Absolutely.
So you can try it. Well, then I'll be waiting on that. And do you know if there's any special culture needed over the winter?
For the honeyberries or for the aronia?
For honeyberries.
Not really. It depends on how big of a bush you have, but, I mean, you can always try to cover it, but they should be hardy enough and to withstand the winter. You probably know this. I don't have to tell you this, but be careful if you're applying any fertilizer to stop early on, so you don't want to put any more fertilizer so they actually start getting hardy to be able to withstand the cold in the winter.
Right. And I think that Jason said that was one of the big attributes of honeyberries, is they're so cold hardy.
Yes, they grow very well here just because of that, because they're cold hardy. And so I don't think that there's any particular thing that you
okay,
can do.
Good. Well, on the aronia, we had a wonderful speaker at our Master Gardener meeting Tuesday night, Lisa Nelson from Roots Chocolates. And she raises a lot of fruit on her farm that she then uses in her chocolates. And I had a piece of chocolate with aronia fruit in it, and she talked about how astringent the fruit is if you try to eat it raw, but I didn't get a good feel for how you, do you just have to add a lot of sugar in using it, or does extracting the juice change the acidity makeup of it? What do you know about aronia?
So astringency is not the same as acidity. Astringency is when you put something, it's like red wine. When you drink red wine, you feel like your mouth is getting dry on the sides and your tongue is getting that. That is the sensation of astringency.
Ah.
So it's different from acidity. You can neutralize part of the acidity with sugar, not necessarily the astringency. So I think the combination of the buttery and creamy sensation of a chocolate with this astringent fruit.
Good combination.
It's a good combination, and it balanced that sensation in your mouth. So not
wonderful.
Necessarily sugar.
Okay, good. Well, I'm hoping to grow some aronia. Are they winter hardy in zone 4?
Yes, they are. Actually, a lot of the aronia bushes are native from North America, so they are very hardy, and they grow very well here in Wisconsin.
And what do people make from aronia fruit?
Well, I had a sorbet the other day that was very good. I know that people also make ice cream. You can make jams.
Mm-hmm. Make a jam.
You can make juice. You can mix it with blueberries and, you know, probably make pies.
Okay. Well, that'll be my next project to grow.
And
a lot.
Stay listening, Becky. I bet somebody out there listening has tried honeyberries, because I haven't eaten either, so I'm not sure what they taste like.
Somebody would call in and tell me what they taste like.
Now,
they don't taste like blueberries, even though they are blue. So.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for calling. And Becky Frank in Cedarburg, it's your turn. Hi, Frank.
Hi, thank you for taking the call. In regards to aronias, I'd like to know, how would you propagate the bush, and when would you start propagating? Also, I heard something about eating those berries. Lime gelatin. And make it like a sauce or a jelly. It tastes good. It's like a blueberry taste.
Yeah, there we go. So we got
exactly how to propagate it and when.
Okay.
So you can propagate it by seeds. So just separating from once you have the fruit, you can extract the seeds and just try to sprout a number of those seeds. That's one way. The other way is just to use cuttings. Just root some of the cuttings. So anything that is like soft wood, you can collect some of the material late May, early June, and then just put them in a well-ventilated frame with some soil media and just keep it moist. That's it.
That's all you have to do.
Yep.
Nothing to it. Thank you so much for calling, Frank. Appreciate your call. Our guest today, Amaya Atucha, UW Extension Fruit Crop Production Specialist, visiting with her about the fall fruit harvest and talking about all kinds of fruit today, which is a whole lot of fun. One of the things we do on Garden Talk every week is to touch on a different thing, and today we're touching on a lot of different things in the fruit area. And we are in our fall membership drive. Jennifer Dargan joins me again. Jennifer, great to see you. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
And she's here to help me tell you that you need to support. Your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. And we'll get back to our guest in just a minute. But first, Jennifer, you're going to encourage them to go to WPR.org, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And here's what we're looking for. We're looking for 34 people in the next 25 minutes to stay on track with our goal. And your support is so important to help keeping this station strong.
So make that call at 888-202-2552. I've got that other number in my brain all
numbers.
The time. Here's the number to pledge, 888-202-2552. Or go online, that's the easy way, at WPR.org, and help pay for the Larry Mueller Show.
Mm-hmm. And we've been really enjoying this conversation with Amaya Atucha about the fall fruit harvest and all the great things you can do. And there are countless other interesting and informative topics on the Larry Mueller Show. And I feel really honored to work with a team that brings this to you week after week and day after day. But mostly, I love being a listener right along with you. And now I'm inviting you to join me as a donor to Wisconsin Public Radio.
It only takes a few minutes to make this program and the many more programs we have possible. Choose a gift that works for you, and then go ahead and make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you've been listening to WPR for a while without pledging, and maybe you haven't given because you didn't know that we are listener-supported. Well, that's a fact. We are listener-supported. The single largest piece of our budget comes from you, the listener. Or maybe... maybe this is the case. Maybe you wanted to listen for a while and see if you liked what you heard.
You're still listening. All those months, maybe, or
you're
years, or maybe only minutes later. So how about a donation right now? Your gift, maybe it's $5 a month, maybe it's $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. And it really does make a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And gosh, WPR has been around for a long time. We're going to be celebrating our 100th anniversary next year. And we've been around because we're committed to quality, and that quality is possible thanks to you. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget.
Your contribution makes this program possible for sure, and so many others as well. You're part of the quality you hear every day on WPR. When you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm Eve Robillard. I've been a sustaining member for a long, long, long time, at least 30 years. I grew up in Kewaunee, Wisconsin, and I can remember in 1955, I was in eighth grade, and there was a program from Wisconsin School of the Air that our teacher would nicely put on, and it was called Let's Write.
The recorded Wisconsin School of the Air feature Let's Write. Here's Marie Applegate.
Good morning, boys and girls. Today is Cat Day. Well, you might say today that cats are our purpose. You'll pardon the pun, won't you?
And I got to write a few poems or something. And I still do that once in a while today.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org to get started now.
Oh, that's cute. Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. And whether your pledge is $5 a month or maybe it's $100 a month, we have many people who have done that as well. Mm-hmm. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
It's true. And there are a lot of things outside of Wisconsin Public Radio to love about Wisconsin. We value the beautiful environment, the parks, the forests, and the rivers are some of the really best things about living here.
Yeah, and I like to think of WPR as a natural resource as well, something that's available to everybody, something that's fundamental to living in Wisconsin. And with your pledge, you keep WPR a strong resource that everybody can enjoy. Contribute now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
33 more pledges to go. Don't worry about that number. It's really you. You're the next pledge that we would like to hear from at Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your gift now to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day. Your pledge right now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And I'll tell you what, it makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference. And, you know, if you just think about it, let's say a buck a day. What do you spend a buck a day on? Coffee, maybe. You probably spend more than a buck a day on coffee. Your phone, a snack from the vending machine. It's really easy to spend a dollar a day on something that's just sort of part of your daily routine.
Right. So what about Wisconsin Public Radio? Mm-hmm. WPR is part of your daily routine. It's your daily news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn more. It's your public radio. So support it today and every day. Give a dollar a day, that's $30 or $31 a month, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And really, we, you know, we're here, we are asking you to make a contribution, but we're also asking that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. It doesn't have to be $30 a month. Maybe it's $5 a month. Maybe you can afford $100 a month.
Mm-hmm. Whatever amount
whatever the amount that you choose, we're going to use it to support the programs that you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment on WPR going strong. So please give right now, whatever amount is comfortable for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got about 30 more pledges to go, if I'm not mistaken. Help out right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. If you've already given, thank you so much. If you haven't, do it right now.
Now's the time. And if you need a little incentive, this pledge drive, you can show your support for WPR and ask for a pair of WPR pint glasses. Just imagine you and your partner clinking with these glasses, feeling the joy.
A little apple juice, yeah. A little wine, a little apple juice and wine together. You never know.
I think that sounds great. They're 16-ounce glass tumblers, and they have both the WPR logo on it and the NPR logo. You can show your pride for the radio you love when you give $7 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you haven't done it yet, do it right now. Again, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Got a comment here from Kimberly in Eau Claire, who pledged and said, WPR brightens my day and enlightens my mind. Thank you, WPR. Thank you, Kimberly. Now, how about you next? 888-202-2552 or pledge at WPR.org.
You are listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. So happy to have you along. And great to have with me Amaya Atucha, UW Extension Fruit Crop Production Specialist. She's an assistant professor of horticulture at the UW-Madison, taking a look at the fall fruit harvest. And we've talked about a lot of different fruits. What about you? Have you got apples? You got grapes? Have you tried aronia yet, growing yet? What does it taste like to you? Do you like it? What about, we can even talk about hazelnut growing, I think, as well. Amaya is not looking at me like she kind of knows a little about
well,
that.
Well, I actually just visited up Bayfield area where we have, there's one of our extension agents up there, Jason Fishback. He has a trial that he is testing different types of varieties of hazelnuts, that there are hybrids between some of the native hazelnuts from here with the European hazelnuts, that's most of us are, or at least I am, being from South America, more familiar with. And so there is some interest in growing hazelnuts, and the trials are going up there, and they trying to figure out what are the best crosses and they produce the best type of nuts.
I was going to ask you how that research is going. Jason, I talked to Jason in the spring when I was in Bayfield, and we did our show from Bayfield and Bloom. Talked a little bit about hazelnuts at that time.
Well, I was there, and I was pretty impressed with the trials there. It's going well. I think that they are collecting pretty interesting information about the different varieties they're testing there.
Well, that's good to know. And let's take a look at some other fruits that we've sort of talked a little bit about. But pears are another fruit that somebody asked a question about pears. But how tough is it to grow pears here in Wisconsin?
There are some varieties of pears, all varieties of pears that grow very well. You can have pears in your backyard without any problem, and you will have a consistent crop. The problem with the pear trees is that the difference with apples is that we don't have a rootstock that actually help us control the size of the trees. So usually when you have a pear tree, it's very big.
Yeah.
And you're always fighting it. It's always putting those really big, long branches and shoots, and you're always like having to prune it. And that's a major problem, not only from the point of view of having a tree in your backyard, but from the production point of view. And so there's a lot of interest and a lot of research going on to trying to find some of the rootstocks that are able to control the size of the trees.
For now, what varieties are we recommending?
The traditional varieties that can grow well here are Packers, Summer Crisp, Bartlett. All those varieties will grow well here in Wisconsin.
And what about pruning? You know, in my neighborhood, we have and I do a lot of running through the neighborhood every morning. I do my little 3-mile jog, and I'm up and down the streets and so forth. And we have one very large pear tree, and its branches all over the place, and it produces a fair amount of fruit. It's usually pretty small, and I've often wondered if that tree was pruned, would we get bigger fruit from it?
Well, I mean, the size of the fruit, it has to do as well with how many of them you have. It's the same as the apples. When you have a lot of fruits, the tree has only limited resources to divide into all those little fruits. That's why we thin them, and we remove some of them so that the ones that are left get more of those resources and ended up being bigger. But pruning definitely helps. What it's going to help is going to help have more sunlight. And having more sunlight will encourage more of the sugars and carbohydrates to go into the fruit and become bigger fruit. You're also going to have a healthy tree. You probably, because you have more light, are going to have less of disease incidence just because of the effect of the light. So yes, pruning absolutely will help. And it's also going to help distribute the fruit not only on the outside of the tree, but also in the inside of the tree, that they don't grow in there because you don't have enough light. So you don't get enough of those buds being induced into becoming a flower and eventually a fruit.
What kinds of cuttings do you make? I mean, when you're pruning, do you cut from the inside out, or what do you do?
The type of cut that you want to avoid is the one that a lot of people are driven to, is that, oh, I'm going to cut a little bit here and a little bit there because I don't want to make a big cut. Well, cutting a little bit here and a little bit there, usually the tip of the branches is absolutely what you're not supposed to do, because that is going to encourage even more growth right behind where you made the cut. So what I usually tell people is to just remove one or two big branches from the inside. They're blocking some light. And once you remove one of it and you take it out, you see automatically how the tree looks absolutely different with one big cut. And so a clean cut from the base is better than a lot of small little cuts around.
Yeah, so take out one or two of the biggest branches on probably on either side of the tree or what have you.
Or from the center, if you have one branch that goes right in the middle and is blocking some of the light, you can just remove one of them. So you don't want to do a lot. You don't want to do a very aggressive. So maybe one or two. If you start removing more of them, you will encourage the tree once again to put a lot of growth on right behind those cuts. So one or two a year until you get the shape that you want. It's good.
And the fruit that you want.
Other things that you can do is also bend the branches. So when you bend them, you stop the growth. You contain them. And so that's another thing that you can do. And so you can just tie them down below the horizon, the horizontal.
And what about fertilizing and things like that? I'm sure most people don't do a whole lot with their pears.
I mean, unless you really have signs that the tree is needing fertilizer, that you don't see a lot of growth, so you don't see any terminal new growth, probably you don't need much more than that. Or you see signs of deficiency on the leaves.
Let's turn to apples for a minute, because I'm always trying new apple varieties. If I see some new ones at the farmer's market, I got to try those and taste those. And if I'm in the grocery store, I'll often grab one that I haven't tried before just to see what it's like. And I have better success sometimes than others. But what about apple varieties? Anything new out there or things that...
There's constantly coming out new varieties of apples. There's some really good breeding programs around the country. Cornell University has a very good breeding program. Our neighbors, University of Minnesota as well. And so they have this Sweet Tango, which has been pretty popular.
What is it? Sweet Tango?
Sweet Tango is the trademark name of the variety. There's the University, Washington State University also has a couple of them. But what's happening, and it's interesting that you ask this question, what's happening with the varieties is that they're being what we call trademark. So, and also they're grown as club varieties, which means, let's say, for example, the University of Washington State University puts out a new variety. But what it does, it's that it only allows Washington State growers to grow the variety. So they have the privilege to grow them for a number of years, getting into the market, and then eventually they might release it so that that anybody can grow them. But it's been very restricted. So all these new varieties are being managed in it, like a brand.
Yeah.
There's a special name to those varieties, and it's very restricted who can grow them so that they can create like the type of market that they want.
And boy, there's a whole lot more that I'd like to talk with you about that, because to some extent I think, and we'll get to this, to some extent I think that where the kind of soil and where they are grown, a Gala apple isn't necessarily going to taste the same in another, and we'll get to that. And I'm sure Jennifer Dargan probably has the answer to that as well, about apples and growing them in different parts of the country and why they might change in terms of their flavor. But I'm not going to...
That's a good theory. That's what I'm going to say.
I'm not going to ask you to do that. I am going to ask you to help me, Jennifer, because our goal here is to raise a little money here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics like the fall fruit harvest that we're talking about today. Your support makes that happen, so I hope you'll give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yep, help pay for the programs that you depend on. Listen, we're down to the wire here. We're looking for 27 more pledges. We got about 6 or so more minutes to do it. So please make your donation right now and support the programs that you enjoy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
From 11 to 12:30 every weekday, we take a break from the news and from politics, for sure. We focus on advice topics. We like to talk about the outdoors, interesting things going on at the UW and in the state, health issues, finances, and, of course, every Friday, it's Garden Talk time.
Yep, and there's a not-so-secret ingredient to this winning recipe, and that is listener support. Your support. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might pay $100 a month for your cable service. You're willing to do that because you get entertainment and information all month long.
Mm-hmm. You get those same things on this station. And in fact, the quality of what you get from WPR is really unmatched, I would say. Become a sustaining member with a 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help keep this station strong.
This fall membership drive, ask for a set of WPR pint glasses when you give $7 a month. They've got a neat design featuring both the WPR and NPR logos. You'll get 2 16-ounce glasses that will hold any kind of drink, milk, water, beer, even your favorite juice, and they're made of durable glass. Check them out at WPR.org. With these glasses, you can sip any of your favorite beverages in style while you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Donate $7 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. We're asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Right. And then once you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be looking for the best way to fit it into your budget. So become a sustainer. That is the answer, in my opinion, as a proud sustainer myself. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or to your credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing.
And I'm one of these people who usually winds up talking myself into contributing at every fund drive. So I'm not a sustainer in that way, but I am sustaining because every year I do contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. But being a sustainer, it really is a powerful way of donating because it provides reliable funding for us. and it's also convenient and affordable for you. So choose a monthly amount, maybe it's $10 or $20, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Have you heard something on Wisconsin Public Radio that you wanted to pass on to a friend? And maybe you subscribe to our newsletter and you get our headlines in your inbox every day. Or maybe you look on the program notes on our website or audio archives. There are so many things you can pass on to your friends, and maybe you already do.
Yeah, maybe you do. It's a great way to stay connected with others by passing on those ideas and stories and that information. We help you stay connected with your friends and with your family and with the world. Your donation keeps this connection going.
Right. I'm known to say, today I heard on Wisconsin Public Radio, ... If you might be known to say that too, make your pledge right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Oh my goodness. We have 27 pledges to go in the next couple of minutes. To stay on track, your support helps keep the station strong. So help us pay for the Larry Mueller Show with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Let me make a pitch to new members of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have not donated before, you would become a new member, and new members are so important to Wisconsin Public Radio. A big, big thank you to all those first-time donors who have pledged so far during this show.
And if you've never given before, know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio the strong, reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount for maybe $5 or $10 a month and then give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Right. Like Larry said, you decide the amount. You choose how much you want to give. And please know that a contribution of any amount makes a difference. Some suggested amounts might be the same amount you pay for Netflix or for your cable bill or
maybe coffee, WPR is probably something you look forward to every day. Pledge right now. You pick the amount. Your pledge makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
26 more pledges to go. If you call right now, you're going to get counted towards this goal, and it will make a big difference to us. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget those WPR pint glasses. You can get those with a pledge of $7 a month or more. Right now is the time to do it, though. We're going up for news. But right now, make your pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest today, Amaya Atucha, UW Extension Fruit Crop Production Specialist. She's an assistant professor of horticulture at UW-Madison. Great to have her along, and certainly invite you to join in with your questions and comments. Open lines get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And I do want to mention, for this last half hour of the show, we have a matching gift from Chad Spate. Chad been on the show many times of Chad's Design Build in Madison, and he is matching $2,500. So the first $2,500 we receive in this last half hour is an addition to the show. So your $100 pledge, for example, becomes $200. So I hope you'll contribute as the show goes along. I just wanted to mention that before we got back talking with Amaya. And we were talking a little bit as we broke for news about apples. And, you know, the flavor of apples can change. I know, let's take a Gala. A Gala apple grown, weren't they produced in Minnesota first?
No, they are from New Zealand.
From New Zealand, okay. Well, the soil, talk a little bit about why a Gala apple might not taste like a Gala apple if it was grown not in New Zealand but somewhere else.
There's a lot of factors that affect in an indirect way the flavor of the apples. So, for example, if we take a Gala apple, they were originally from New Zealand. They were bred there. And so if we think about the weather in New Zealand, it's warm, but it's not extremely hot. So we're talking maybe around the 70s. The nights get cold, so the temperature drops. What happens when that happens and you have apples hanging from your tree during the day? Because they're so sunny, they get a lot of photosynthesis, a lot of sugars being produced and put into the fruit. At night, when it gets cold, the plant slows down. And so all that sugar just stays there and accumulate, and the plant is not using them. So the apples are very sweet. You take that gala tree and you put it in a place where it's, let's say, very hot in the summer, and the temperatures at night don't drop. What's going to happen is during the day, yes, it's going to produce the same amount of carbohydrates. But during the night, because it's so hot, the plant is going to transpire and it's going to consume some of those carbohydrates that otherwise would be in the fruit, and the fruit would be sweeter. So those are the kind of things that affect the taste of the fruit. And the same, the quality of the fruit after you harvest them and what happens with their life as a post-harvest life. So that can also affect how, if you have an apple in storage, how that apple after 2 months is going to taste in one side compared to the other, or what type of management you do.
So it's probably not a bad idea to do a little research. If you're going to plant an apple tree and you say you like, oh, I really love this particular type of apple, I would want to take a look at where it was originally grown and see if my conditions match those.
Absolutely. For example, Honeycrisp is a good example of what we're talking. It was bred in Minnesota, so it works really well under our conditions. You know, it prefers rather cool weather. You take them to Washington State and some areas where they grow the majority of the apples, it's very desertic, it's very dry. They don't like it. And so they come up with all these new management to have a good Honeycrisp apple. Like, for example, put in some shade. Because it gets so hot that the plant just don't like it. And the apples don't taste, or the post-harvest of those apples is not going to be as good as when you grow them in Minnesota where they were bred.
Or in Wisconsin.
Or in Wisconsin, absolutely.
Leslie and Rhinelander, thank you for calling.
Hi. So I just made a really good pledge, and thanks. I actually take time out to listen to you as much as I can, even when I'm traveling.
Thank you.
You've got really excellent shows. Maya, I've got a question for you. I've been doing quite a bit of research, and I do all organic up here, about the blueberry bushes. I know they have shallow roots, but the question is, and I know what kind of soil they need, how far out do the roots extend? Because I'm wondering what kind of an impact it would have on other plants that are more towards the 6 to 6.5. And I know blueberries need like 4.5 to 5.5 and some sulfur. So I'm trying to figure out in what kind of a diameter space the blueberry bushes and how that would affect other plants and fruit trees and other fruit bushes around it.
Yeah, good question.
So what's going to happen is that, you know, plants are very intelligent. They're going to grow the roots where they find the best soil and where they can actually uptake most of the nutrients. So if you are putting, lowering the pH with that sulfur that you're going to apply in a certain area, the majority of the roots are going to concentrate there. You don't want that area to be too small, because then it means, like, let's say we know that blueberries have very superficial roots. So if you constrained the area where you want those roots to grow in the middle of the summer, let's say we have 1 or 2 weeks, which is pretty dry, that area is going to dry, and then your bushes are going to be under stress.
So
the extent to where the roots are going to grow is going to depend on the type of soil and where are you putting that sulfur so that they concentrate there.
Would you put it, you know, make sure you've got the acidity 3 feet out from the plant? Or
yes, 1.5, 2 feet.
1.5, 2 feet.
That's good enough.
For each plant?
Yes. But if
so
you have them...
Yeah, 5 or 7 blueberry plants, and they're around other fruit trees, and I've got comfrey. I've got quite a... I do biodiversity and everything organic. Is it better than if I've got 5 to, say, 7 blueberry plants that I should really pick an area that's like say 21 feet in diameter then?
What you will want to do, if you would have to treat that soil to lower the pH and then put also some mulch on them, you want to put the plants together, because that is going to be easier for you to just be able to manage that soil all at the same time.
All right, that's great, because I have put them together and I have ameliorated the soil, so it's got the sulfur in it and peat moss. So, all right, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And maybe you want to talk also about, like, I know you can grow, which I am doing, Arctic cold hardy species, Arctic kiwi. And I know the honeyberries that I've got are from Norway, so they do really well up here, too.
And how
they're very hardy.
How do they taste?
You know, it's a cross between like a blueberry and I would say almost like a royal raspberry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that they're actually, because I'm hooked into agroforestry and the University of Missouri. And so, you know, besides the nuts, which you guys have been talking about, the hazelnuts, which is fantastic, you know, sort of a resurgence up here. They're actually doing a resurgence of, you know, of the honeyberry and finding that they're very hardy as well, you know, for the type of, you know, type of soil that we have up here. So it's kind of nice to see the, you know, that that diversity. And and I'm, you know, I'm using them actually making a, you can make like a liqueur out of them. And then the other berry that I'm making is the American black currant, not the red currant, mm-hmm. but the black currant. That is taken off like gangbusters, and I'm sure that has a lot to do with, you know, the rain that we've had. And you can make cassis, which is a French liqueur, is from American black currants.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Leslie, so thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah. I really enjoy your show. It's fantastic. And I, even though I'm out there, I've got quite a, you know, wealth of experience. I keep learning from your show with all the guests that you have on. And Amaya, I think it's wonderful that you've got this fruit crop production, you know, in the state of Wisconsin. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wonderful. Thanks, Leslie. Darlene in Viola, it's your turn now. Hi, Darlene.
Yes, hi there. A couple of questions here. I have a Cortland apple tree that's about 15 years old, and I prune it every year. It becomes very unruly, very dense. I am self-trained in pruning, so I'm well-versed in all of that, but I cannot keep this tree from becoming so dense inside that the fruit doesn't get enough light. The reason why I planted it was to use it as a pollinator for my other fruit trees, which are Lodi, Liberty, Freedom, and Honeycrisp. And my first question to you is, I'm wondering what other type of tree could I plant to use as a cross-pollinator?
Oh, you can try any other. I mean, with the ones that you have, they're already probably cross-pollinated. You say you had Honeycrisp and you had Liberty and you had a couple of, they will cross-pollinate. What I would recommend you, if you want to keep the Cortland tree, is that you could do some summer pruning. So during the middle of the summer, you can remove some of the shoots that are growing inside. It's that type of pruning actually debilitates the tree a little bit, but it will help you open up the canopy.
Oh, because it's very, very dense.
You can do it in the summer. And then the other things, and we talk about that, is, and you said that you had quite a bit of experience, is to make sure that you're actually removing those shoots that are growing inside the canopy from the very base so that you don't have regrowth. But doing it in the summer would definitely help, and I would recommend you to do it some point around July when you can start seeing the terminal buds in the shoots starting to set. That's a good time to do that.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. And then I would like to know what your recommendations are for minimizing frost damage in spring, because being in zone 4, we lose an awful lot of fruit every year because of late frosts. And the other question is your opinion on black ice plums for our area.
So regarding minimizing frost damage, what you can do, the best thing that you can do is site selection. And you probably know this, is trying to find a site where you have good air drainage, so yeah. Not on the bottom of a hillside, because you're going to have a lot of accumulation of the cold air there, because the cold air is heavier. So that's one thing. If you have anything that is blocking the air from flowing and could concentrate some of the cold air, that's another thing. Besides that, there's no product, there's nothing else but good site, light exposure, and choosing fruit trees and varieties that are cold hardy. There's nothing else that you can do.
Right, right, right. And I know all of that. So, okay. And then the other question is on black ice plums. I've had great success with the Mount Royal plum, which I highly recommend, but I'd like to try black ice also.
So the European plums that you're talking about should work just well. They grow well in this area. The ones that we usually don't recommend are the Japanese one, but any of the European plums, you should be successful growing them. So either it's the Mount Royal or the Stanley one also grows pretty well.
But no. The black ice was developed in Minnesota. Are you familiar with that?
If it was developed in Minnesota, then it's a good indicator that it would grow well in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But you haven't had any experience?
No, I haven't. I haven't had any experience with that variety in particular. But just being European plums, we know that they will grow well here. And if it was bred in Minnesota, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And Don in Warren, Illinois, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. I have a comment and a question. The comment is somewhere along the line I picked up a 1904 Bloomington Nursery Catalog. It has 125 varieties of apples and 35 varieties of crabs. And most of them you've never heard of before. And, you know, you talk about varieties and the change. The question is, I can remember as a little kid driving by this house and having a pear tree out in front and it just being completely white in the spring. And now 75 years later, it's still sitting out there, and it still turns white in the spring, and I suppose the pears on it are hard and seedy as all those old pears were. But how long do they live?
As long as you take care of the tree, it can live for a very long time, 50, 70, 80 years. I mean, you think about olive trees, for example.
Yeah.
When you have olive trees that are 200 years old, even
yeah.
more. So if you take good care of the tree, if the tree is healthy, has enough light, is pruned properly, and it doesn't have any disease, that tree can keep living forever.
A long, yep. long time. Thanks, Don. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Amaya Atucha, our guest today, UW Extension Fruit Crop Specialist, Assistant Professor of Horticulture at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Well, another long-lived person, oh, she's not that old, though, really, is Jennifer Dargan, and she's back with us again to talk about our fall membership drive. You count on WPR for great talks, and if your gift of any amount will make a big difference for us. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and we're off to a pretty good start here in this last half hour.
Right, we've got a couple of pledges in the door already. You know, last hour, remember we were trying to get to 40,
mm-hmm.
we got to 20, so
yeah.
we think that people need a little more encouragement to make a pledge, so how about a dollar-for-dollar match mm-hmm. up to $2,500? Is that good encouragement for you? This generous match comes from Chad Spate. Thank you, Chad, of Chad's Design and Build, and it means that he will match every dollar that you get.
And it's his way of encouraging you to join him in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So I hope you'll double your support for the program you love. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you've been enjoying this episode of Garden Talk, and you probably tune in weekly for the advice and tips from our guests. But there's another expert in the studio, a very humble expert in the studio each week, a man I like to call the King of Radio. Because you appreciate the knowledge and the kindness and the relatability of Larry Mueller, please pledge now, right now at 888-202-2552 or go online. It's really easy and fast to get it taken care of at WPR.org.
You know, if listening to WPR is worth $4 a day to you, you could become a member of our 9XM Leadership Circle.
Right. 9XM members are listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs. And that works out to less than $4 a day.
So it's a pretty good deal. It gives you more value and gives us more value as well and in your contribution. So make that gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I blew my $8 on this cable. I've got another cable just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Postage to send a care package to my son in Texas that was outrageously expensive.
It might have been dryer sheets on Amazon.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during our fall membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan asking for your support of WPR. Your gift, $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Right. And now, right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500.
Yes.
It's in effect right now, only until the end of this program. It is a great time to pledge because Chad Spate of Chad's Design and Build is going to double every dollar that you give. It's his way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Every week we hear from a different guest expert about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening. I know some guests are horticulture professors who can answer a wide variety of general questions. Others specialize in lawns or trees or vegetables or native plants. A whole lot more, actually. Support this program where you get so much gardening information all year long with your pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And the world of gardening is constantly changing. That's why it's nice to have these up-to-date tips and advice from our experts. It's hard to keep up to everything that's going on in the world. As a listener, you rely on WPR to let you know what's new and important every day.
Yeah, WPR members make the updated news and information you hear every day possible. Your turn now. It's your turn to invest in the programs. Your contributions of $5 or $10 a month keeps the news and conversations relevant and on the air for everybody to enjoy. It's a chance now to double your pledge, the amount, thanks to Chad Spate. WPR needs your support. Your membership makes a difference. So I hope you'll give at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
You know, this is a perfect example. Wisconsin Public Radio is a perfect example of how you don't have to live in a big city to have access to everything the world has to offer. You get it right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And whether you live in a small town or a big city, when you listen to WPR, you're in the global public square, hearing from artists, from reporters, experts in the forefront of their fields. Because you appreciate this access to the best the world has to offer, I hope you'll make a pledge right now of support to WPR at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Larry, I'm not a nail biter, but I'm thinking of starting because we only have 4 more minutes left of this dollar-for-dollar match from Chad Spate of Chad's Design Build. Your gift of $50 is going to turn into $100. Your $100 will turn into $200 and so on. So please take advantage of this match right now. Make your donation and get it doubled for your support of WPR programs. Give right now.
Yeah, give right now. We're about $700 short of that matching goal, so we need to make that up. These days it's easy to spend a dollar a day or even more on things that are part of your routine, the cup of coffee, your phone, maybe your commute to work.
Mm-hmm. Consider the news and information and inspiration, really, that you get from Wisconsin or around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. So maybe a dollar a day is right for you. That comes out to about $30 or $31 a month. Give a dollar a day right now at WPR.org and get that matched. Or you can call 888-202-2552. Do it right now and support the programs you enjoy every day.
One way to think about your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio is that it's an investment in your future listening. So give us just a few minutes of your time and your donation, any amount, and in return, you'll get lots of great programs.
I really like thinking of it that way, as an investment in your future listening. It's kind of your savings account is your investment in your future you, and putting it towards WPR is an investment in your future listening. So donate at WPR.org, call 888-202-2552, and it really will just take a few minutes. You'll have made a wise investment, you'll feel great, and you'll get dividends paid every day.
We don't want to lose any of this matching grant. We're $400 short right now. Our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. We are looking for another $400. Give now, whatever amount you can, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Larry, our listeners can join Diane from Watertown, who pledged and said, I've learned so much from WPR and have And so have my animals. I love it. I leave the radio on 24/7 so they can listen when I'm out and about. Well, thank you. Thank you, Diane, and your animals. Now, how about you next? WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've already contributed, thank you so much. If you haven't, call right now, 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.